2016. Can you believe it, Jim? A new year. Anybody make a New Year's resolution? New Year's is traditionally a time to take stock, to look a little bit back, look forward, and determine to begin anew. And as the slide on the screen shows, often our resolutions have to do with adopting some better habits, losing weight, exercising more, getting out of debt, drinking less, quitting smoking, whatever the case may be. But what about a church? You know, we have a lot of challenges ahead. Financial challenges, building challenges, ministry challenges, all have to do with priorities, priority challenges, which are really faith challenges. Challenges which are being addressed priority-wise with our new beginnings journey continues this January. But something I have discovered in my nearly 30 years of ministry, challenges which a church faces tend to be met when congregations seek to serve rather than be served, when congregations seek to meet needs rather than having needs met, and when congregations focus on what's important rather than becoming bogged down in pettiness. Well, you know, come to think of it, those would be pretty good New Year's resolutions for a congregation, don't you think? Seek to serve rather than be served. Seek to meet needs rather than having needs met. Focus on what's important, like proclaiming the gospel and serving the community rather than becoming bogged down in pettiness. You know, if we were to honor these resolutions, I suspect the other challenges would be met. Why? Because there's some biblical principles in here, and when they are practiced, God makes sure that blessings follow. Oh, well, we are in the midst of the 12 days of Christmas, that time which begins on Christmas Day and concludes on the day of Epiphany, 12 days later, January 6th. Epiphany means manifestation or showing or revealing, as in Jesus being manifested or shown or revealed as the light of the world, the hope of the nations. And this day is traditionally associated with the visit of the Magi, those learned men from the East who followed a star and came and worshiped the Christ child. However, the lectionary passage for today is from the first chapter of John. So though we'll be talking about the Magi in our meditation this morning, you'll have to recall that passage from memory as we read the first part of the first chapter of John, part of the prologue to this gospel, verses 10 through 18 of John 1. I invite you to listen for the word of God. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Alan Weenick shares a legend about the Magi, how they actually, for a time, lost sight of the star. They had started out with high resolve, holy purpose, and hopeful expectation. There was something awesome about the providential magnetism that drew them together on this spiritual quest. aspiring souls had found a common kinship and sublimated themselves in a common purpose, to follow where the star led them. Together they rode the trackless miles, and in their hearts beat the excitement and enchantment of a noble experience. Initial travel conversations soon changed from trivialities and social amenities to the call which kept leading them on, urging them on, the vision which kept renewing itself, the mysterious star which beckoned them forth with its silent invitation. Riding over the desert sands, they began to speculate on what would happen when they arrived. Being individuals of considerable prominence, they began to take pride in the fact that they would be the first to discover and recognize the new king. Soon, however, they began to quarrel amongst themselves. Who would make the first gift presentation? Who would do the speaking? Whose gift had the most worth, would be the most useful, or symbolized the most devotion? Without meaning to, and yet because they were human beings, they became alienated from one another. So many petty thoughts filled their minds that they began to quarrel amongst themselves. Sound familiar to anyone? And lo and behold, the night of the first quarrel, the star disappeared. It was gone. So for a time, they wandered aimlessly, arguing frequently, despairing alternately. The star had disappeared, and so had their hope and their enthusiasm. The noble adventure seemed doomed, their aspiration as ashes in the chill desert darkness. They became lost and wandering nomads, far from home, with journey uncompleted, treasure unshared, quest unfulfilled, hearts unresponsive, eyes unseeing, and souls devoid of inspiration. And so it happened that one night, lost and forsaken, they stumbled on an oasis in the wilderness. Other travelers had already arrived and were gathered about a shallow well that had gone dry. The first arrivals had already used up the little water that was to be found at the bottom of the well, and were now waiting for either help or death. To this scene, the Magi arrived, and curiously, with no arguing, without really thinking that much about it, they brought out their water bags and emptied them into the well that others might drink. And suddenly, as if a lamp had exploded, the bleak camp of despair became a place of hope, hospitality, and happiness. But the most miraculous thing of all was that when they emptied their water bags into the well, looking down into the water, there in the water at the bottom of the well, they saw a reflection of the star. It was there. It was back in the night sky. Once again, they found their way. The star they had lost in self-seeking, they found again in humility. That which had been lost had been found in alleviating human need. That which had become obscured by pettiness became obvious again in sacrificial sharing. Wait a minute, what did the legend say? The star they had lost in self-seeking, they found again in humility. That which they lost had been found in alleviating human need. That which had become obscured by pettiness became obvious again in sacrificial sharing. Friends, only as they opened their hearts did the star become visible. And this hard lesson became the guiding principle of their lives. And so this little legend becomes a parable of great truth, that love must be in our hearts if the light of Christ is to shine on our path, guide our steps, and show us the secret of success. There's really no other way. Only love can see the star, which leads to the discovery of God's wonder for our lives. So, my friends, as we come to this holy sacrament, let us come with love in our hearts. Let us rid our hearts of all enmity, hate, strife, of all busyness, preoccupation, and pretense. For this is a moment of truth when we kneel before the awesome mystery of God made flesh. Only love can see the star. From a world of confusion and concern, from a world of war and terror, from a world of tension and trauma, we come before the simple elements of bread and cup that dramatize a coming on our behalf, a living to show us how to live, a dying to assure us that there is forgiveness with God, and a rising again to show us that no power known can defeat God's purpose. In John's Gospel, we read, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known." The miracle and mystery of God made flesh, which challenges every human assumption, is present in this meal and is present to guide us in this new year and beyond. May we open our eyes and hearts to the reality that as we serve, as we alleviate human need, as we focus on the majors, so we will see the star and be led to salvation.